Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success. Well, hello, hello. Hi, Dr. Art.
Hello, Dr. Chris.
How are you today?
Very well. How are you doing?
The first Friday of January?
Meeting of the new year.
Yeah. Our first show of the new year. Very good. Well, hello, everybody. You're listening to the New Reality Show. I'm Dr. Christina Winzi, and my co-host is Dr. Art Emmerich. And we are all about helping people right on the air with practical tips and tools for living a better life, as you heard from the introduction. And tonight, our topic is on communication. Now, we did have a guest who was unfortunately not able to join us tonight. So we have rescheduled her. So if you were tuning in for Dr. Jackie Del Rosario, we will have her on just later in the month. But meanwhile, we thought, what would be a really good topic to help people these days? And one thing we know is that in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which we both practice with our clients, the presupposition that we're talking about tonight is that the meaning of your communication is the response that you get. So I don't know about you, Dr. Art, but I have noticed that with all this emailing and texting, a lot of communications go awry. So we're going to kind of give people some tips and tools to see if they can have better communication, which will certainly give them better relationships. And communication is everything in relationships.
Right.
Yeah. So typically we start with a tip of the week. Do you have one this week?
I certainly do. Wouldn't miss the opportunity to start the new year.
Right. How could I ever doubt?
Well, because this is about communication this time, and the name of our show is The New Reality, and I thought the tip of the week ought to be about reality. So I looked for some ways to understand reality, and I have some things here that external reality streams into our system through our five senses at literally millions and millions of data bits per second. Now, we're not designed to process that amount of information that fast. So what we do is we create an internal map of reality based on the data that comes in from the external reality that's out there coming in through our seeing and hearing and feeling and tasting and smelling. So we are only designed to process about 200 bits of information per second, not millions, but 200. So that means that we have to do some stuff to that data stream in order to make sense out of it, to keep from blowing our mind, literally blowing our minds with an overload of information. And so we do a sampling of reality. And we claim, I know what's going on out there. I know what reality is. And the fact is that we do have some ideas about it, but our system has rejected an enormous amount of information because what our system is trying to do is find the stuff in that big data stream that confirms our beliefs and our thoughts and our hopes and maybe our doubts and our fears. It makes sense out of them. So as an experiment, a mental experiment, just imagine there's a group of people were assembled to take a quick look into a room and then answer some questions about what they saw. And here are these six people. One of them is a lighting expert. One is an art dealer. One a furniture salesman. One is a flooring salesperson. One is an expert on paint colors, and one is an expert on ceilings.
Wow.
So we would no doubt have six quite different reports about this room, what people saw when they looked in, and all of them might actually be correct, only not completely correct, but to be things that they didn't see and didn't notice based on their experience and what they thought they were being asked to look for or look at. So the same is true for us, that we respond to and relate to things that are meaningful in our experience, and other things we just we don't notice. So it's the same process that AAA would do when they were making a map, let's say, of the city you live in. First, the map is distorted in that the scale has to be changed quite a bit. A map with 1 inch equals 1 inch or 1 foot equals 1 foot wouldn't be very helpful because you couldn't get it
on the paper.
Yeah, you wouldn't know how to fold it even if you did. So we would have it deleted a lot of stuff. A lot of the houses, a lot of the roads, a lot of the streets and the cars and the trees and all that stuff, because they would be deemed by AAA as that's not relevant for this map. That's not what you want. We only want to preserve the essential things that you might want to have. So maps are incomplete versions of an external reality, and they serve the purpose well if they get us where we're going, but they don't have everything on it. We do the same thing. Our map is in here. And this is where reality is, too. That's the only reality we'll ever have. We can't relate directly to the one out there, so we relate mm-hmm. to the one that's in here. And it's much reduced. So if you ever wondered why five witnesses to an accident come up with five different stories, and you'd wonder, did you see the same accident that I saw? It's because they are doing the same thing. They're deleting information that they didn't think was important, and they can report only on what was significant to them. And so anyway, I wanted to just say that about reality, our show, The New Reality, is that we wake up every day, whether we realize it or not, into a brand new world. And what we want to do is to encourage you to notice what's different about it, what's changed since yesterday or last week or last month or last year even, and appreciate that difference, the fact that you can even be aware of it, because that is a very, very highly powerful mental process.
It is also what you've just said is so profound in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. When you brought it down to the simple of five people seeing an accident or witnessing something and reporting mm-hmm. it completely differently, mm-hmm. it shows exactly what you were saying, that they filtered out things yeah. and only saw what was relevant to them, they thought were key. And so this is how misunderstandings happen, because so thank you for that tip of the week. I know sometimes it seems like, you know, getting to the basics of what are you trying to say when you're telling the story, but if you follow the line of logic, it comes down to, okay, we're all looking at life a different way. And in NLP, we call that your map and your worldview. And so this is how these communication faux pas really happen. So before we go on with the main topic, which we've actually already started, but I wanted to just invite listeners to please feel free to call in. We love when you join the conversation. You can dial a toll-free number, which Thomas is putting on the screen, 888-627-6008, and that's in the U.S. It's toll-free. If you're outside the U.S., you dial 844-4831, and that's dialing direct. And also, we want to thank our subscribers, our faithful subscribers. And if you find that you get value out of this show, we invite you and we welcome you as a potential subscriber to help us keep the lights on. We're all about serving humanity on this show, and we try to bring as many value, as many informational value, free things that you can do at home, ways that you can improve your thinking, your life. And so to become a subscriber, if you go to our main show page, you'll see a little button that says click here. And Thomas has that up on the screen. And your donation amount is whatever you choose it to be to subscribe to the show. So we thank you if you will consider being a subscriber, assuming you get value from our show. So with that, well, I think that, you know, we're off to a good start, Dr. Art, of really helping people understand that they are, when they're saying A, the other person may be hearing B. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that one of the things that is a challenge when it comes to communication is that people don't take the time to consider their words. They don't take the time to consider all the different meanings that their words may have to somebody else. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody. I am known to write long emails where I think I'm being very expressive and I'm really outlining what I think the challenge is. And sometimes I'll get back like, I don't really know where you're going with this, or I mean, not always, but you know, I have learned that brevity is absolutely so welcome. You know, we're inundated with information all the time, all day long, especially now that we're always online and on our phones. So, and the other thing I've learned is the problem with email and text is that there's no vocal inflection. There's no visual of the eyes or the body language. And so the huge percentage of how we accept communication from somebody and interpret it is completely gone. So we have to interpret it by the words alone. And yeah, that's where it's so, so important to really be watching your words. What do you think about that?
Well, here's a problem we run into. There was study that was done about where the meaning of communication actually comes from. And the interesting thing that came out of this study is that 55% of the meaning comes from our body language. Mm-hmm. Over half of what something means. Now, I looked up the definition of communication. The dictionary said the imparting or exchanging of information, and that's kind of you know, book learning stuff. NLP, I think, has a much more useful definition: is the transfer of meaning from one entity to another. So, the problem we have is that meaning does not exist within an event or than a word even. It exists in our head, and it's what we assign to it. It's what it means, exactly what we say it means to us. And that's what meaning is. And a lot of people think, oh, this word means this or this word means that. No, it means that if you say it does, but it can also mean something totally different. So this Albert Moravian's study, where he found out that 55% is a body language, guess how much of our communication meaning comes from the words? 7%. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time wordsmithing, and we worry about, oh, how does this sound, and what did I say the right thing, and all. Only 7% of the meaning comes from those words. And if we use a conflicting or body language that doesn't support what the words appear to be saying, then we get confusion. You know, it really can be very confusing. So anyway, just a point that we spend a lot of time wordsmithing. I'd like to talk a little bit about body smithing tonight, so we can talk about how you can be a better communicator by paying attention to your body language.
Well, most definitely. There's no question. And, you know, when someone has their hand on their hip and they're looking a certain way, you can either interpret it as they're teasing, or you could interpret it that they're serious and they're annoyed. And you can, there are like so many ways to interpret. And so it's this combination of the body language, which is, as you said, over half. And then you've got, what is their face doing? What is the inflection in their voice? And so it's amazing to me that the human race has been able to continue considering how challenging. And also, you know, when you talk about meaning, there's an example that you gave. I don't remember what show it was, but the husband could be saying, "Now that's an interesting dress." And the word "interesting" to the wife may mean he doesn't like it, or he thinks it looks bad on me, or this makes me look fat, or whatever. And meanwhile, he's like, "Wow, that's really an interesting dress," because it's haute couture, you know?
So these words, boy, they just get us in trouble. Well, I went into very extensive study. I wanted people who I taught to become better communicators, master communicators, ideally. And the first thing they tell you is, well, if you want to be a good communicator, you got to get rapport. And I learned that way back in the 50s when I was in school. You got to get rapport, you know. And they never said what it was. They never said how to get it, how to keep it, how to know when you have it, you know, how to lose it. All, you know, that was always just go get that rapport, because that's good for you if you want to be a good communicator. So I have some interesting ideas about that from the collection over the last 40 years. Rapport is a process for matching and mirroring another person's behaviors. That's how you get rapport. It's the ability to elicit a desired response. Mm. It's a condition whereby another person will accept your suggestions less critically. It's becoming more like another person. It is actually a connection between your unconscious mind and their unconscious mind. We always operate on the, that's a conscious mind connection. Doesn't have much to do with it. It's the unconscious connection that creates a rapport. And the idea behind that is that people are more comfortable with people who are like them more than they are with people who are quite different from them. And so given a choice, people would prefer to relate to or do business with or be with people who that they're comfortable with or they're in rapport with, somebody they trust, enjoy, know, share common traits, experiences. And their clues about you, whether they know you or just met you, come from how you look. That's that body language part. How you sound, that's the voice qualities, and how you make them feel. So that is a fundamental premise of NLP, and the reason for establishing rapport is so that you can get people to do things that they want to do and aren't able to, maybe, or do things that that you can see that would help them and they don't know how to do them. So that rapport is really a very key to being a successful communicator.
Well, one of the ways that, one of the examples you can give when it comes to rapport is I'm a New Yorker through and through, mm-hmm. born and raised, but I moved down to Sarasota, Florida And I noticed when, as soon as I moved, that the mode of talking and communicating, unless I was talking to a fellow New Yorker who had moved also, it was a completely different way of talking. And it was quite a lesson in, you know, you can't take the city out of the girl, you just can't. But I had to learn to go with the flow a little more, to slow down. And so getting rapport with people was to stop being the New Yorker and to start emulating their rhythm of speech, not in a way that mimics them, but in a way that if someone is talking really kind of, you know, they're just talking like this, then if you want to get rapport, you slow down your talking and you talk kind of like they are. And you don't want to do it in a way that makes them feel you're just copycatting. But it's really about, you know, if you think about it, like the worst kind of rapport is when someone is either on a date or they've met someone new or they're with their boss and they're yesing to everything. Oh, I like that movie. Oh yes, boss, I'll do that. And you know, they think they're developing rapport by being a yes man or by saying to their date, oh yeah, I'll eat Indian food, and they may not even like Indian food. So, right. You know, that's not rapport. That's just people pleasing. Yeah. But really just listening to how people talk, observing the way that they move and kind of what their inflections are, and trying to understand, okay, if I kind of move my body almost in a similar way. And it's amazing because you can really develop, like with clients, like you said, Dr. Art, it's getting people to do something that's good for them when they don't even, you know, they're not aware of that you're actually influencing them on a subconscious level, but it's for their own good.
So the way the rapport is defined in NLP is that if you mimic somebody's behavior and you keep it below their level of conscious awareness, their unconscious thinks that is the greatest compliment that you could give them. Mm-hmm. That number one, you're tuned in to what they're saying or what they're doing with their body, you know, and you have decided that you will match that, not total copycat, but that you will do something very similar to that to show, hey, unconscious of the other person, I see what you're doing, and I'm going to do something back, sort of to let you know that I see that. And as long as you keep it below the level of conscious awareness, it is a compliment. If it rises to the level of conscious awareness, number one, you're doing it wrong. And number two, it is insulting. You just say, why are you copying me? You know, kids do that. Why are you copying me? Mm. They don't like to be copied. So it's a matter of finding ways to do that that are below the level of conscious awareness and it leaves many things. For example, one of the most powerful ways to establish rapport with another person is to breathe with them. Most people are totally unconscious of when they breathe in and when they breathe out. Mm. If you pay attention to that and then start timing your breathing in and out at the same time they do, their unconscious picks it up instantly. And it is a fabulous compliment that says, whoa, you're actually breathing with me. That is really cool, you know, because a lot of people have never had that experience before. And it is quite dramatic to them once they realize that that is what you're doing. And you can use their gestures. You can use their posture, the sway of their body, the tilt. You can use the their eyes are very expressive, their eyebrows. A lot of people's eyebrows are going up and down all the time. People do things with their mouth. People do things with their shoulders. Sometimes some people always have the same kind of a lean over that way. So if you do that also, and one of the admonitions is, if you're going to start doing this, if somebody were to just say, do something like that, and you immediately went like that too, you know, that would probably call it to attention. But what you can do is just very, very slowly kind of move into that kind of a thing, maybe over a period of minutes, you know, before you do it. And then not as dramatic as they. If they're way over here, you don't have to get that far. So one of the fun things I did, I had a guy and he said, "You won't believe what happened. I went fishing. I caught a fish that big." And I said, "Really? That big?" You know, because I'm doing exactly what they did, but I did it appropriately. You know, I didn't just, as soon as they held their hands up, I didn't hold my hands up too.
Right.
I waited, you know, and made a statement about it. And then, so that is an example of a very subtle but very powerful matching of someone else's behavior. And you can do it with the voice qualities. People have a speaking speed. They have a speaking volume. They have a qualities of their voice that you can look at. The tone of their voice you can use. And one of the things that we were told, don't ever try to match a foreigner's accent. If you're talking to a Brit, don't ever pretend like you're a Brit and you're gonna mimic that, because they know that you're not doing it right and it's insulting. So just use your normal.
It's also painful to their ears. It's painful to their ears. Painful. But I just want to review, because we've talked about a lot of things, and I think it's really important for people to maybe, you know, if you're following really well on this conversation, there's just been a lot. So the first thing was Dr. Art's tip of the week, which had to do with the fact that we give meaning to things and we filter out what is not important to us. So five people can see the same thing. So if you have someone that you're having maybe difficulty communicating with, they may be seeing things, they probably are seeing things in a different way than you are. So what's important to your spouse, what's important to your friend, what's important to your boss, what's important to your coworker or your child is different from what's important to you when it comes to certain things that you think should be a certain way. So that was the first thing that we talked about. And it also had to do with observing, and that we would see in an accident, five people would see it differently and filter out. And that's why witnesses give different accounts. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about, we talked about rapport in great length. Did I miss anything? I think we went right into rapport. Body language. We talked about the fact that what's really important has to do with body language, because it's more than 50% of what you're communicating. What somebody is observing from your body movements is 50% or more of the meaning that they're getting from your communication.
And here's a very unusual kind of a sidelight on that. We have a lot of folks that do business on the telephone a lot, and a lot of students. And when they're doing classes remotely and they're online, and maybe they're not video online, but they're audio online. The admonition from the NLP community is, use your body language even while you're on the telephone. We have students that don't get dressed, you know, and they're lying on their bed. They're in class, but they're not really, they don't look like a student would look and, you know, was sitting up in a learning kind of a mode. So stay aware of your physiology, even when you're on the telephone. dress for the call, whatever type of call this is, put on the kind of clothes that you would put on if you were in person. Stand or sit, no lying down. Avoid smoking and chewing gum. And eat before or eat after the call. So there's a lot of lip smacking that goes on, and people say, well, they can't see me, so I'm gonna have a Twinkie, you know. Well, the sound comes through even if they can't.
It does. It does.
So there's a lot mimicking as if you were in person, even though you're on the telephone. And of course, even more the case when you're on Zoom and people can see you.
To be in your underwear on your bed when you're on Zoom.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the rules. That's the rules. I have
that's
a funny
sure.
thing about marking out words.
Wait,
we talked about.
Before you go on, I just want to do a station break because we may have had new people join us. You're listening to the New Reality Show on BBS Radio. And I'm Dr. Christina Winsey and my co-host, Dr. Art Emmerich. And tonight we're talking about communication. We started out with talking about the fact that the meaning of your communication is the response that you get. And we have been through quite a bit of information here tonight, so you may want to listen to the replay as well. And Dr. Art is about to give even more information. It's hard for me to hold him back. I just want you to realize, you know, he's got so much information, but it's all valuable and all worthwhile. So if you'd like to join our conversation, if you have a question, if you would like some laser coaching, maybe you have an issue with communication and you'd like some help with how you can handle it better, you can call in toll free tonight while we're on the air. And you can dial direct in the U.S. 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., you dial direct on 1-323-744-4831. And I do want to invite you to listen until the end because we do have a special gift we're giving away to our listeners, the first six people to contact us. We've already gotten six people from our New Year's Eve show, and we thought we would just open it up again to get a few more people and help a few more people. So listen to the end and we'll have that announcement. Meanwhile, Dr. Art, you were about to launch into even more information.
Yeah, we mark out words in the sentences that we use, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. But I have a sentence that someone thought would be a fun way to illustrate this. The sentence is, I can't say he stole money. And that was just delivered in a flat, no emphasis on any particular word at all. I can't say he stole money.
Hmm.
But if you decide you're going to mark out a word, a single word in that sentence, you could do it with each word in the sentence. For example, I can't say he stole money. 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 I can't say he stole the money. I can't say he stole money. Each one of those has a totally different meaning, same sentence, but a different word is highlighted. So just be aware of the fact that you may be inadvertently highlighting words and they are giving meaning to what you're saying. It makes sure it's the meaning you intend for it to be giving, because that highlighting says, pay attention to this word because I've stressed it a little bit. That means it's a little bit more important than all the other words are. So just be aware of what you're doing.
That's very valuable. That's very important. I think, you know, when you're wanting to get something across and thinking first, where am I going to put the stress? This is what actors do. This is what singers do when they're singing a specific song, is where am I going to put the accent of, and the music helps in singing. But yeah, very good tip. The other thing I wanted to bring forth was active listening. And I think that it goes along with rapport. And as you said, communication through the subconscious with rapport is a deep compliment. Well, the other thing is that for many, many people, they want to be fully heard. They don't feel that they've been heard if you don't acknowledge what they've said or what you think they said or what you think is the meaning of what they said. So it's really important that you, if you're in a conversation that the other person is saying something, you want to be repeating back to them. So you said such and such. Is that correct? Does that mean I'm interpreting that to mean this? Is that correct? And so then they know that you really got them. But if you don't do that and you just, you know, there are those people you've probably experienced where you'll say something and the only thing they care about is what's going on in their head and they can't wait till they can say what they need to say. So, you know, you're busy with something important to you and you're expressing it and they don't even acknowledge what you've expressed. And so you really want to pay attention to this person has just communicated something that means something to them. Let me see if I really understand it before I go launching off into what I want to talk about.
And one of the most difficult times to do that is when they have just said something with which you violently disagree. Mm-hmm. That's when they frequently don't feel like they've been heard. So if you can restate what they said using their words, not making up new ones or changing the meaning slightly, even use their words and say, this is what I heard you say, XYZ, whatever it is that correct? You know, that requires an enormous amount of sophistication as a communicator. Again, especially if it's something you don't really agree with at all, to be able to have those words come out of your mouth and you don't agree with them at all, it doesn't mean you're agreeing. It just means, did I understand what you meant? You know, and that's, as Dr. Chris said, this is a way of confirming, is that accurate or not? And let them have a chance to correct it.
The other thing you'll notice is that I talk a lot with my hands. I happen to be half Italian. So, you know, some people do more gestures than others, and that's part of the whole body language. So I don't know if that means something, Dr. Art, but I think hand gestures give emphasis, just like body language gives a meaning. And there I go, moving my hands again.
Well, what we're taught in NLP training classes is that you can mimic somebody's physiology, voice, and use similar kind of word connectors that they do. And the more of those that you can stack one after another, after another, after another, so that their unconscious gets a very, very strong indication that this person is really paying attention to me, not just the words I'm saying, but also what is my body doing? What is my voice doing while the words are coming out? And when you can feed that back to them, it is just a very powerful way of connecting with another person. It really puts you on much more solid ground. And they will then respond by being easier to communicate with. They'll feel like you're in sync with each other. You're on the same wavelength. You know, you're in tune with each other.
The other thing that I think is important is asking questions instead of feeling as though you have to get your point across. And so in addition to the act of listening, there's a story that I heard on a success series by Jay Abraham, very famous marketer. And he talked about rapport, actually, but he talked about how to it was sort of a how to win friends and influence people type thing. He was in an airport and the plane was delayed, and he met a gentleman and they got to talking. And Jay decided that he was just going to ask this guy questions and drill down further and further. And he just kept saying, so this is what you do with your business? And tell me more about that. And tell me more about that. And by the time they got off the plane, because they did get on the plane and they took the trip, but when they parted, Jay had not talked at all about himself. He had only asked questions. And the gentleman said, you know, I meet a lot of people in my line of work, and you are without a doubt one of the most interesting people I have ever met.
That's great.
And I've never forgotten that. And so there is a book by Dale Carnegie called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I highly recommend it, especially if you're in sales, especially if you're in coaching or any of the professions where you're helping people and you're trying to get more simpatico with people. But it works no matter what you're trying to do. Just ask questions. Find out, because it goes in line with the act of listening, that, you know, people really want to talk about themselves and they want to be heard and they want to be acknowledged. The Mary Kay Ash of Mary Kay Cosmetics, who I believe is no longer with us, but her famous saying was to imagine that written across everybody's forehead is "make me feel important." And so the more you make people feel important, the more you'll be able to get your communication across, the more they'll be willing to listen to you. So that's something I've never forgotten as well.
Really?
And I'm not always perfect at it, for sure.
Well, no, I think we're all students of communication for all of our lives if we choose to. One of the things that I encourage people that study with me is use the TV as a way to practice. Watch what the people are doing with their body. You know, somebody's gesturing this way all the time, then just mimic that. Do what they're doing. And, of course, they can't see you, so you can do it right along with them. But if they're doing gigantic big gestures, then practice doing that, because the idea in NLP is that you should be capable of doing anything that another person is doing communication wise. Mm-hmm. If they talk really loud and really fast, you ought to be able to do that too, because to them, that's normal. Mm-hmm. If you come in as a very slow and very gentle voice, you know, to them, that doesn't sound normal at all. You know, that's exact opposite of them. So push yourself in those directions so that you can get. Now, you don't have to be as loud or as fast, but you might have to move out of your comfort zone in that direction. Or if you get somebody who's very soft-spoken and very slow, then that may be out of your comfort zone on the other end. So just practice with the TV. It's a wonderful way to get some experience with being able to establish rapport in a safe way, because they're not live. They're not in front of you right then. Get to where you're good at it on a TV. And then when you go in, I go into restaurants a lot of time. I'll try to establish rapport with somebody all the way across the room and not have them have any idea that that's what I'm doing. You know, they're not noticing me. I'm noticing them. And so I do that. Another fun thing you can do, as if you're interested in being a better communicator, is pay attention to the verbs that people use. Verbs fall in a lot of categories. One of the ways that you can categorize them is what sense organ are they using to express themselves? Are they using I words? Like, oh, I see what you mean. Oh, that's clear now. Yeah, I can see that. Or look at this. Or I just need to visualize that a little bit. Well, that's all stuff coming out of their visual thing. So if you hear that, start using I verbs back to them in what you're doing. If they say, I hear what you're saying. Let me listen to that one more time. That sounds good, the way you described it. Well, that's all ear stuff. So you use back some ear stuff for them. Or if they say, oh, that just doesn't feel right. That's real heavy feeling there. That makes me feel warm, and that's a strong way to say it. And that, so now they're using what we call kinesthetic. That's the feel words. And so if you want to participate in something to develop yourself, just listen for the verbs people use. When we first learned about this, I went out in public and I'm just listening, and I would have sworn that nobody ever used a verb from that day on. I never heard a single verb. It was because I was trying so hard to pay attention to it that I just got away from it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there are fun things that you can do to expand your capabilities in the area of communication to match other people, mm-hmm. what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it with the words. People will use technical words sometimes. Find out what those technical words mean and use them back to them. That makes them feel like,
That reminds me, I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is
good time.
Well, with my children, when they were in college, but also even high school,
mm-hmm.
the tip I gave them was take note of how the professor says things. What are the mm-hmm. words that the professor uses? What is the most important to the professor? And then when you're asking a question or when you're on the test writing an essay, you want to use their words because they have put, that's what is important to them. And that's how they know that you actually learned what they were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never forgotten that. And I think it helped my kids a lot in school. So that's another tip you can, if you have children who are still in school, just remind them the teachers love their own words. It's just human nature.
They do. And we're looking for ways to bond with people that we may or may not know. I usually, in a test that I give my students, I say, okay, my job is to establish rapport with a woman. She's 6'2" tall. She's blonde. And she is wearing a very unusual piece of clothing from another country. And so now, how would I go about establishing rapport with this person? I'm not like her in hardly any way at all. And so what would I do? And then have them try to figure out, so, well, you could do this, or you could do that, or you could do something. And what you find out is there are any number of things, because physiology is physiology. It doesn't make a difference how tall she is or what color her hair is. If she's leaning over this way, then I can do that too, you know, and if she gestures a lot or doesn't gesture at all or whatever, I can begin adopting some of those mannerisms. If she says something about a hobby that she has, like Dr. Chris said, start asking questions about that hobby, especially if it's one you don't know anything about and you can really learn something. If it is something you know something about, you know, just say, gosh, I heard X, you know, and then confirm, is that really true? You know, and that, so you can hook into their special interest. If they love sports, you know, with my wife, if you mention a certain football team, you're bonded right away. She's on the same wavelength, you know, so, and there are people like that, you know.
If oh,
you
there are.
Their team. Boy, you say, oh, I like that. I like the Dallas Cowboys or the Raiders or Broncos, whoever it might be. And if you already know that that person does too, then use that as a way to bond with them. So the more bondings you can create, the better communications you're going to probably be able to have with each other.
And it has to be genuine. And I think this this speaks to salespeople who do their research before they talk to a company representative. Yeah. They're researching, you know, if you're going for a job interview, you want to research the company and you want to see if you can find anything or everything out that's going to help you in the interview to look knowledgeable, that you care about what the company information is, yeah. What is the company's mission? What is their vision? So, you know, all of this is so intertwined with our everyday lives, our everyday objectives. The last thing I wanted to present, because we're running out of time, was mm-hmm. just the recommendation of a book called The Five Love Languages, because, one of the things that is really, really seriously breaks up relationships is that one person doesn't feel loved, or both people don't feel loved, because mm-hmm. there are different ways of loving. And we tend to love or care for the way that we feel loved and cared for. That's our love language. But the other person may feel loved and cared for with a different love language. So the mm-hmm. wife may be saying, I need you to do A, B, and C for me to feel loved. And the husband's off doing X, Y, and Z, thinking that she feels loved. So he's mm-hmm. saying, I love you, but she wants to get to go out on a date, to go dancing, because she's kinesthetic and she really loves to dance and to have a good time with her husband. And he thinks just saying I love you, coming home and telling her good things. And so The Five Love Languages is a really, really good book and will help Excellent. You with your personal relationships. So we are running out of time, Dr. Art. And what I wanted to do was to let people know that we decided to extend our offer for another six people, that the first six people to write into our email, which is contact@realityshow@gmail.com. Then say in the subject line, I want a session. And we are offering rapid results strategy sessions for the first six people. Just say whether you want Dr. Art or myself. And so three people will get me, three people will get Dr. Art, and there's no charge. This is our gift for the new year, because we know that people are setting their goals, and we don't want you to just set a goal and not do anything with it. We want to give you a strategy session where you'll be able to actually actualize your desires and your goals. So Dr. Art, do you have any parting words, any final tips that you want to give?
Well, one last one. I wanted to say a little bit about negatives. We seem to use a lot of negative linguistic models in the way we speak. And someone gave this example. If someone told you, don't think of a pink elephant, there is a five-step process that you have to go through. First, you have to think pink elephant in words in order to understand what it was they ask you not to do. And then you have to imagine a pink elephant, make the picture of it, to say, oh, you mean this? This is what I'm not supposed to do. And then you have to make that picture disappear. You can have it float up away, or pop like a balloon, or fade to black or white, or melt like an ice cube, or think of a different colored elephant, or think of a pink other kind of animal, not an elephant. So all these negative constructions require an enormous amount of effort on somebody's part to comply with it. We say, don't drink and drive. What would be a better way to say that? You know, people can say, oh, drink. I know what that means. Drive. I know what that means. Don't. I don't know what that is. I can't make a picture of a don't. So I'll disregard that. So what I'm left with is drink and drive. And so we're actually causing the person to do exactly the opposite of what we intended. So what would be a better construction? Drive sober. Say it the way you want it rather than what you don't want, you know. Otherwise, you can say, well, I can drink and fly. I can drink and walk. I can drink and swim. I can drink and do anything except drive. And it didn't say drive a golf ball, drive a bus, drive a car, drive a boat or what, you know. So these negative constructions are really, really tough. And they're even tougher on children who don't have the sophistication linguistically that we do. Johnny, don't leave your room in such a big mess. Okay, to take the don't out, so Johnny, leave your room in a big mess. Instead, Johnny, clean up your room. You know, you could say it in the positive way. Sally, don't run with scissors in your hand. Sally, put the scissors down. Fred, don't climb on the furniture. Fred, keep both your feet on the floor. Jenny, don't forget to turn off the stove. Jenny, please turn off the stove. And we say, don't worry about it. Don't hesitate to call me. Don't miss this chance or something. We're always don'ting, and it would be so much more clear and more effective if we said what we wanted instead of what we didn't want. We're stuck in the don'ts.
Absolutely. And I wish that when my kids were little, I had not said no or don't as often as I did. It's one of those mother guilt regrets that I have.
And father, I can't let you take all the guilt.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our show for tonight. And we thank you so much for being with us. Just a reminder to, we want to thank our faithful subscribers. And if you've gotten value out of this show, this is our show. We do this every week. We present a topic or we interview an expert, an author, and we bring topics that are going to enhance your life in some way. And we have plenty of free handouts that we give along the way. So depending on the topic. So I just invite you, if you enjoyed the show, to please consider being a subscriber to help us keep the lights on. There is a cost, and you can subscribe on our show page. And there's that wonderful smile of Dr. Art's picture. I love that picture, Dr. Art. So that's how you can be a subscriber for as little as $2.99 a month or as much as you want, up to $49.99. And we are very grateful. So with that, we are a wrap. We did it.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave these wonderful people again and wait till next Friday.
Unfortunately, yes. So thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you next week.
Good night, Dr. Chris.
Good night, Dr. Art.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.